second scripture reading, as I told the children, is probably one of the most incredible verses in the whole Bible, or chapters of verses, I should say. Romans chapter 8, and we're doing just the first 11 verses of it. Hear these words, and may they find a home in your heart. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on that which nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on that which the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. May God bless this reading of his holy word. I was watching the Weather Channel this week, and they showed a chart of how the dust and sand, actually, and soil is being blown across the Atlantic Ocean from the Sahara Desert to our shores, and to actually into the Mediterranean, or into the Caribbean, and onto South America. And it reminded me of a nature special that I saw that explained why the Amazon River Basin is so rich, and it grows every kind of plant and animal so in abundance, is because that soil was blown the whole way from the Sahara and taken up by the Amazon River and distributed throughout Central America, or the central part of South America. Now, all of that reminds me of a story that Charles Spurgeon used to tell, that in the days when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, there was a shortage of food in Rome. People were starving. Everyone was worried about where their next meal would come from. And at that same time, there was abundance of food in Alexandria, Egypt, on the banks of the Nile. Again, the rivers brought such treasures into the, and the Nile River would flood with fresh water, and there was plenty of corn and wheat in Egypt. So merchant ships would sail from Rome to Alexandria, Egypt, and you would expect that those boats would be loaded down with corn and wheat, but they weren't. The ships were filled with sand to be used in Emperor Nero's gladiator games. Gladiator games in which many, many Christians, as you may know, were slaughtered. There was so much blood from animals and humans that it filled the circus floor, and they needed sand, tons of sand to soak up all the blood. The ships were filled with sand. One day, however, an owner of a ship came to the wharf, and he saw the sand being unloaded, and he saw all the hungry people who wanted more than just sand. They wanted to be fed. So this ship owner ordered his ship to go back and bring a shipload of wheat rather than sand. And when the ship arrived in Rome, the people were enormously happy. No ships are filled with sand today. No sands of philosophical speculations. No sands of psychological speculation about human nature. The sand, what the book of Romans brings us, is a shipload of the finest grain. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That itself, the first verse, is so powerful and so strong. No condemnation. Now, hopefully we've gone beyond it, but in my day and time when I was growing up, our society was often shame-based in that, you know, if you didn't conform, if you acted up, you were shamed in one way or another by your family. Sometimes you were punished. And so this kind of a message becomes very, very important. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is incredibly good news. No condemnation. We're justified in the sight of God. Christ nailed our sins to his cross. And by his grace, we're justified. God sees us as sinless through the blood of Christ. It's kind of interesting that the word love does not appear in the verses that I just read. But the passage is permeated with that love of God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We had broken God's law, been judged guilty, and the sentence was death. But Christ died our death, and in him we are dead to sin and alive. Just as love permeates this scripture lesson, so does the power of God to bring life. You know, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. And if you're around in this world long enough, you begin to use Jesus' measure of things and of people, of institutions. What kind of fruit are they bringing forth? Churches need to ask that question. What kind of fruit are we bringing forth in our community, in our fellowship? I attended an annual meeting of a group yesterday, and it occurred to me, you know, what kind of fruit is this group bringing by? They weren't a religious group. It's a lake association. And I realized that the fruit that was being born there was not joy or peace or patience or kindness. It was tribal. You know, the social scientists have said that, you know, one of our reactions, one of the reactions of human beings and we in the United States has become more tribal lately. That this is who we are and you don't belong. That kind of attitude. And some churches can take that kind of attitude from time to time. But what fruit does it bring? You'll know them by their fruit, Jesus said. Something, a rule of thumb, if you're ever wondering, you know, am I being too harsh in my judgment? Just step back and say, okay, what kind of fruit is coming from this community, this organization? People are headstrong and selfish. Our minds dwell on our own wants and needs, what Paul calls the flesh. The mind set on the flesh, Paul says, is death. That's the kind of fruit that brings forth. hostile toward God, cannot observe the law or please God. But we do praise God that God has sent the Holy Spirit to hold up a mirror to us, to show our true selves. We rationalize a lot of our sin and excuse a lot of wrong behavior, but the Holy Spirit shows us what is true, what is right, and what is good. This morning's Sunday school lesson had a great discussion about good, what is good. I love the idea that good is just God with another zero in it, or another O. If Christ is in you, sin is defeated. Death no longer holds you, and the Spirit dwells in you. You are raised from death as Christ was raised from the grave. That's where we get this idea of newness of life. Newness of life. Many of us have experienced it. Well, where does it come from? How did you achieve it? I know it was not something that was automatic for me. Newness of life. Irma Bombeck once wrote a story about what she would do differently if she could live her life over. I like what she said. She said, "I would have eaten popcorn in the good living room and worried much less about the dirt when someone wanted to light a fire in the fireplace. I would have taken the time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. I would never have insisted that the car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. I would have burned the pink candle sculpted like a rose before it melted in storage. I would have sat on the lawn with my children and not worried about grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less while watching television and more while watching life. I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending the earth would go into a holding pattern if I wasn't there for the day. I would never have bought anything just because it was practical and wouldn't show soil or was guaranteed to last a lifetime. Instead of wishing away 9 months of pregnancy, I'd have cherished every moment, realizing that the wonderment growing inside me was a tremendous gift. The only chance in life to assist God in a miracle." That's a wonderful way to think of motherhood, isn't it? The only chance in life to assist God in a miracle. And ladies, you've got that. Praise the Lord. "When my kids kissed me impetuously, I would never have said, 'Later, go get washed.' There would have been more 'I love yous' and more 'I'm sorry's,' but mostly, given another a shot at life, I would seize every minute, look at it, and really see it, live it, and never give it back." There's now no condemnation. You know, the cool thing about that phrase is something I know that those who come to the meetings down in the basement here, to the AA meetings, realize there is a liberating quality there. There is now no condemnation. Yes, you made a mistake. Yes, you fell into alcoholism or drugs or any number of bad things, bad for you and bad for your family and community. But there's now no condemnation. If you have repented, if you have confessed that, if you've begun a new life in Christ, there's no condemnation. And like Irma Bombeck, you don't have to start over again. You just start living your life the way it ought to be lived, the way a person who is set free, pardoned, taking the condemnation out of the equation. To God be the glory for Romans chapter 8. There is now no condemnation. Join me in a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, we forget so easily the power of those words. No condemnation. You turned to us as you turned to the thief on the cross and said, "You'll be with me in paradise." No condemnation. You'll be with me in paradise. Thank you. To you be the glory. Amen.